This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Well, that was fun. What a weekend, right? What a way to kick off the 2019 playoffs. Ooh, see, I recovered quite well there. And the year 2020. Wild doesn't begin to cut it. At least I don't think so. Lots of surprises. Lots of stunning developments. Whether we're talking about overall big picture, which is three road teams winning on wild card weekend, or if we're talking about individual plays. My jaw is still on my hardwood floors. After seeing Deshaun Watson spin out of the grasp and near control of two defenders, and delivering downfield to Taywan Jones to get the Texans into field goal range in overtime. And there were so many moments like that. Derrick Henry on his 26th birthday. DK Metcalf. Wait until you hear how Marshawn Lynch describes the rookie wide receiver for the Seattle Seahawks. And the tension. Oh, the heart palpitations. None of the four games on wildcard weekend were decided by more than a single score. All four games settled by single digits. Nothing greater than 8 points. How about that? We are spoiled. I tell you this all the time. We are spoiled rotten football fans. And also I say this, and it's worth saying again. In fact, I retweeted myself on Sunday evening. When you make predictions, the NFL does what? It laughs in your face, suckers. This was so much fun. I really enjoyed it. All four games. The way that the intensity and the sense of urgency is ratcheted up. The recognition that one big play can be such a turning point, such a catalyst. Who's going to make it? Who's going to be on the wrong end of the biggest play? I hope that you enjoyed the weekend as well. Not just football, but other stuff. Thanks so much for being part of our show. We start off the first full week in January, first full week of 2020. And despite the fact that people continue to yell at me about it, the first full week of a new decade. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. I do recognize that some of you are just now getting back into your regular routine following the holidays. My mom still isn't back to school yet. She's got an in-service on Monday and then finally gets back to teaching class on Tuesday. So her school is on a little bit of a different schedule. For those of you who are just rejoining us after a couple of weeks of vacation and winter break, welcome back. It's good to have you. This is the right time. We're kicking off year number 8 at CBS Sports Radio, and the NFL playoffs are like a Happy New Year gift to sports fans. There's so many different ways that we could start the show, but let's start by looking ahead just a tad. If you don't know the schedule for next weekend, I'm sure I'm not alone in this. It is one of my favorite weekends of the entire year. Because you've got the four big dogs, the four top seeds, hosting the survivors from wildcard weekend. And generally, we get some really incredible matchups. Although, divisional weekend's going to have to work hard to top wildcard weekend. But here's the schedule. Next Saturday, Bay Area, San Francisco 49ers, you're up first, baby. Top seed in the NFC, a kickoff at 1:30 California time. Niners hosting the Vikings. That's 4:35 Eastern time. Then it's followed by the other top seed. So you've got both the one seeds in action on Saturday. Baltimore Ravens, best record in the NFL this season, playing in prime time, hosting the Tennessee Titans, the sixth seed in the AFC. It's kind of fun, right, that we have one versus six in both of the divisional games. We've got one versus six on Saturday. And then on Sunday, the Houston Texans are at the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the early game. And they've shifted the times for it, actually. Instead of starting early on Saturday, so the typical times that we would get for a regular season Sunday, did I say Saturday? Sorry, Sunday. They actually shift the game, so they're a little bit later. And it's because they want to get that Packers-Seahawks game in prime time. And so Chiefs will host the Texans starting at 3 o'clock Eastern time, 2 o'clock Arrowhead Stadium time, and that's followed by Lambeau Field, seeing its first playoff football action in 3 years. I'm excited for that, just because of the tradition. And so the Packers host the Seahawks. There's some pretty great memories, violent memories that pop into my brain when I think Packers, Seahawks in the playoffs. So Niners, Ravens hosting on Saturday, Chiefs and Packers hosting on Sunday. I'm excited to see what the ratings were from wildcard weekend. But I think if you think about the major metros and the storylines wrapped up in next weekend, it'll be even better. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. What shocked you most about this weekend? And I don't just mean results. Maybe a specific moment. Maybe Carson Wentz getting knocked out of a game and not being able to finish a season again, which just sucks. But be prepared. If you call me up and say something about how Carson Wentz is injury prone, I will rip you to shreds. I already did it to a guy on Twitter who said he was made of glass. Yeah, he's had some injuries, but you don't get to put this in the same category. Jadeveon Clowney going helmet to helmet. I don't think it was a dirty hit, but he did smash into Carson Wentz's helmet from behind. Should have been flagged. Wentz didn't come back after the first quarter. That does not make him injury prone. But it does suck for the Eagles, and it certainly stinks for Carson Wentz individually. Maybe that's the moment that shocked you the most. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Let's start our way at the end of the schedule for Wildcard Weekend and work backwards. So Seahawks at the Eagles, actually a rematch of a game that happened in the second half of the regular season. And it was a dogfight then. It was also a scrappy, gutty, gritty game with not a whole lot of room to breathe. Now, the two teams are completely different than what they were in the regular season. Well, completely different. They're different. Since then, Seattle has lost its top three running backs, multiple offensive linemen. We know for the Eagles, they are using a running back that wasn't even on the roster a month ago. They've also lost their top receiver. And so they've gone through multiple transformations at various offensive positions. And then, of course, having to use Josh McCown. But neat for McCown, of course, individually, his first playoff action. But it came because of an injury to Wentz. And so I wasn't surprised to see the game start out with zero offense, really. And then for Carson Wentz to have to leave the field and get checked for a head injury late in the first quarter, the game really turned right there in that moment. Now, McCown did some pretty nice things when he came in to replace Carson Wentz. He leads a field goal drive. There's some mobility. You can see him with some sharp throws. But the downfall is not having that weapon behind the offensive line, under center. Carson Wentz was playing some of the best football of his career, but also the best football of the season. He's really the main reason why the Eagles were able to get into the playoffs and win the NFC East over these last 5 weeks or so. Seattle's had more time to adjust to its injuries, but also had its MVP in Russell Wilson. And so Seattle answers late in the first half with this 82-yard drive and their chunk plays, big-time plays. What do you always hear coaches say? You're trying to prevent the big plays because they're punches to the gut. But we saw them with Russell Wilson and his receiving core, DK Metcalf, David Moore, and then just for the exclamation point, the old guy at running back.
Here come the Seahawks, breaking the huddle to the line of scrimmage. Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. He takes a handoff. He stops. He cuts back inside down to the... He's still in. He's in for a touchdown. Marshawn Lynch, touchdown Seahawks. He was stopped at the one, spun out of a tackle, and kept those legs driving from 5 yards out.
He definitely bounced off a couple of guys, and talk about punches to the gut. He got hit multiple times and still kept the legs churning. Beast mode, as you know. So with just about a minute to go in the second quarter, Seahawks are able to get that first touchdown on the board and they lead at the break 10-3. But it was hard work. Only 87 yards of offense for the Eagles in that first half, and there was no good news on Carson Wentz. At that point, we knew his wife had been escorted into the locker room, and it wasn't really questionable anymore. She's not back there if Carson Wentz has any shot of returning to the game. So reality sets in there in Philadelphia, and yet they continue to work really hard. But Seattle kind of wrapping around there, end of the first half, into the second half. Their first possession of the third quarter. It was once again a big play. A big play that just is a backbreaker on someone else's field.
Moore now is wide to the right side with a slot left for Russell, who goes under center. Now Lockett goes in motion. Russell play fake. Now he's going to throw down the middle. Got a man. Metcalf makes the catch diving. He is in for a touchdown. Seahawks. What a play by the rookie, DK Metcalf.
We heard his name over and over and over again. In fact, he sets a new NFL rookie record for receiving yards in the playoffs, 160 when it's all said and done. And the funny part was on that particular touchdown catch, as you hear with Steve Rabel, he falls down, but no one touches him. So smartly gets back up and is able to rush the last few yards into the end zone. It's after hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Philadelphia had chances. And that's how Seattle plays. The Seahawks don't blow teams out. They're 8-1 on the road this season, but they never make it comfortable for their fans. It's a positive that they can operate and continue to play well in these close and late situations. But it also delivers heart palpitations. And it, of course, means they are ripe to lose games as well. Philadelphia has a pair of opportunities late in the fourth quarter. Doug Peterson goes for it on fourth down. And at this point, it was up to the defense to come through for the Seattle Seahawks.
Shotgun snap, sets in the pocket, cocks his arm, pocket crumbles, he's brought down, sacked at the 12, hit on the play by Jaron Reed, down he goes, and on downs, Seattle gets the ball.
Kevin Harlan on Westwood One as Jadeveon Clowney pulls Josh McCown down from behind. Again, if that's Carson Wentz, there's a possibility that he's taken off. He's wriggled through the line and he's bursting toward the end zone without the hesitation there. But Josh McCown is not the same guy. And as Doug Peterson said after the game, they did have to adjust their offense. No one feels bad for the Eagles. No one feels bad for any team that has injuries. It's part of the game. But it's also reality that it affects what you can do when you go from a Carson Wentz to a Josh McCown. And the Seattle defense responded on both of those fourth downs in the fourth quarter, that coming with under 2 minutes to go in the game. So the final score, once again, Seattle with an ugly win on the road, but now 8-1 away from CenturyLink this season. Wilson goes 18 of 30 for 325 yards and a score, also is the leading rusher on the team. And here's another stat that jumped out at me. 11 Seattle penalties for 114 yards. There's one reason why the game is close, even though the Eagles are using a backup QB. 114 yards in penalties? It's not something that marks the Seahawks often, which is lack of discipline, but they definitely took a lot of self-imposed hits in this one.
Nerd alert!
Philadelphia goes 0 for 3 in the red zone and just time and again had to settle for field goals. So coming up, we'll get the reaction from Philadelphia in two forms. First of all, we'll let you hear from the Seahawks and Eagles locker rooms. It's really impressive that Philadelphia even got into the postseason. Remember, they were 5-7 and had to run the table the final month just to win the NFC East. But eventually the injuries catching up with them. And they were not a great team all year, Seattle exploiting the weaknesses. And you'll also hear from DK Metcalf and Russell Wilson. The Seahawks fell to the 5 seed because they stumbled at the end of the year. But now they end up with a spot in the divisional round and a date with the Packers. What shocked you most about this weekend? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Play fake. Blitz is coming. Russ is going to let it fly. He's got Metcalf deep. Metcalf reaches up. He makes the catch near midfield. What a play call by the Seahawks. Just throw it deep. And Metcalf makes the catch. He has been spectacular today. And the Seahawks now can use up this last timeout of the Eagles and can run this clock down. The big first down, the huge completion, and we're getting the one-finger salute from the fans left in the stands.
Big, big plays by Russ. Russ was spectacular tonight in moving around and finding guys when we really need in crucial situations. But I think the night was stolen by DK. He just had a phenomenal night. Showed you know what he's capable of looking like. He's had a great season in his rookie year, but to have a night like that in the first chance ever in the playoffs, that was spectacular.
It's a football feeding frenzy. After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The one-finger salute, eh? If you're an Eagles fan who is giving Steve Rabel the one-finger salute, I think you should call and identify yourself. That's the Seahawks radio network. And Steve's been a guest on the show before. He's a lot of fun, has a great personality and passion on his calls. And no doubt to see that deep catch for 36 yards down the field with a minute 40 to go, it was the exclamation point for the Seattle Seahawks. And Pete Carroll, obviously, chomping on the gum, clapping it up, getting excited. He brings the fire and sets the tone for that sideline and that locker room. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Certainly, the way that Russell Wilson brings so much wisdom and experience into the game, the fact that he's a Super Bowl winner and he's been on that stage more than once, and he's maybe one season in his career he's failed to be in the playoffs. And so all of that wrapped into this one quarterback who now, still a couple years shy of a decade in the league, can draw on all of that. We're not talking about a guy who is going to be thrown off or flummoxed by what defenses throw at him. And even down to a 33-year-old who sat out a year and a rookie at running back, Russell adjusts his game and steps up. He was the leading rusher for the Seahawks. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. Obviously, for DK Metcalf, it's been a bit of a coronation here. His rookie season includes this NFL playoff record with 160 yards.
I mean, Russ is Russ, man. A game is never over. A play is never over. When he's back there, quarterback, I see him convert a third and like 13 running the ball. So, you know, he's a great competitor, a great leader out there. Bobby as well, the way they compete and just fight every play. I mean, it was just a great environment to just be playing in.
I give these scouting reports, you know, they're probably 10 to 15 pages sometimes, depending on the week. And everybody studies him, but I mean, he knows everything from the protections to who the DBs are, to the linebackers, to what they did last time 4 years ago, to this, to that. I mean, I quiz him, you know, every time, every week, and he hammers him off. He knows him really well.
It's part of the reason why DK Metcalf has continued to be a factor and has turned into the number two receiver for the Seahawks, even as a rookie. Remember when this was a question mark about the Seahawks? Doug Baldwin, no longer part of the team. Tyler Lockett, of course, does have the trust of Russell Wilson, but the receiving core was a major question mark to start the year. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. As for Carson Wentz, no official word, but you wouldn't imagine that we would get a whole lot now that he's in concussion protocol, but the season being over, still, that was the major theme for Doug Peterson for the Eagles following the game.
I'm disappointed, you know, for him, you know, because I wanted this for him, you know, obviously, and I think a lot of his teammates did too, and the team, the organization did. I mean, he's battled through a lot, but we'll learn from it.
Well, it was tough to see Carson go down. You know, he's been such a tremendous football player for them, and he had a great year. I don't really know what the status was fully, but I thought, to be honest with you, I thought Josh came in and did a great job too. You know, I kind of made a joke with him after. I said, "How young are you?" You know, because he was moving around, making throws. I mean, it shows you how important that position is, and he did a great job of that.
Who knew that this would be a 40-year-old quarterback we're talking about Wild Card Weekend? We knew that Tom Brady and Drew Brees would be out there, and they were sure to be storylines, either for better or for worse. But for a while there, McCown had the opportunity to be the only 40-year-old QB to advance from the weekend. A couple of shots there late on fourth down as Doug Peterson goes for it. They just couldn't come up with the big play when they needed it, though he did lead multiple scoring drives. It's just that they resulted in field goals and not touchdowns. And he was asked about his future. Again, not something we expected to talk about following the weekend. Yes, the questions for Drew Brees, Tom Brady, are you retiring? What do you believe about next season? What do you know? Not something that we expected to ask Josh McCown, but what about his career moving forward?
I'll probably reflect on that later. And again, you know, probably with a sour taste, but thankful. Thankful. My wife and my family have moved around a lot and been a lot and been there for me. And so, and mom and dad. And so to go out there and get to play in a playoff game was special. And I can't thank them enough for their support. It's a heck of a ride. I left it all out there. I know that much.
Even though it was a loss, I'm happy for Josh that he had the opportunity to take snaps and throw the football, even scramble a bit in his first playoff action. He goes 18 of 24, 174 yards. He was sacked a half dozen times. But honestly, if you compare his QB rating to Tom Brady's, or to Drew Brees's, it's actually McCown who has the highest passer rating of the 40-year-olds from the weekend, although all three of them end up getting eliminated. So the Seahawks and Russell Wilson, Marshawn Lynch, DK Metcalf, Tyler Lockett, David Moore, that defense that's got a couple of veterans that come through over and over again, Bobby Wagner, KJ Wright, could even talk about Jadeveon Clowney, though controversial after his helmet-to-helmet contact and Carson Wentz seeing his head bounce off the field, off the turf, and that was the end of his day. We're going to head to Philadelphia coming up next. Talk to our Seahawks insider. Seahawks-Packers, what comes to mind when you think about this in the playoffs? You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. What shocked you the most? Shock and awe about this weekend? Again, on Twitter or our Facebook page, and our phone number is 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Moore now is wide to the right side with a slot left for Russell, who goes under center. Now Lockett goes in motion. Russell play fake. Now he's going to throw down the middle. Got a man. Metcalf makes the catch diving. He is in for a touchdown. Seahawks. What a play by the rookie DK Metcalf.
Hits, misses, and messes. Time to talk football after hours with Amy Lawrence.
DK Metcalf, just one of the stars of the weekend. Favorite target of Russell Wilson as they win on the road in Philadelphia. Steve Rabel with the call on the Seahawks radio network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're heading to Philadelphia now, but to talk to a Seahawks insider who hasn't traveled back to the Pacific Northwest yet. Joe Fan joining us from NBC Sports Northwest. And Joe, this is a Seahawks team that had a chance to win the NFC West, but lost three of its last four games and kind of stumbled backward and stumbled into that five seed and having to hit the road. How did you see this team rally then and produce a victory against the Eagles?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think they stumbled for sure. I mean, they had two ugly losses against the Rams and in week 16 at home against the Cardinals, which were ugly. But at the same time, this team plays so many close games. So at some point, you know, you're bound to get unlucky and start losing a couple because, you know, at one point they were 10-1 in games decided by 8 points or less. And so they constantly play with fire, you know. And so whether they get down early and have to come back late or whether they get up early and can't put teams away. And that's what you saw against the Eagles, you know. I mean, they got up early and just could not shut the door. And, you know, Philadelphia had a couple of prime opportunities to come back and win that game or at least tie it and send it to overtime. But a couple of clutch fourth down stops got Seattle away with the win.
Why is that? Why do they constantly get in these close and tight situations and have trouble slamming the door?
Well, I mean, I think on one side of it, it shows you their mental toughness and their ability to, you know, not quit when they're down early. And you saw that against the Niners in week 17. And the flip side of it is I just don't think they're that good. You know, I don't think they are as talented as some of the other teams in the NFC or in the NFL in general. And so, you know, it's hard to put teams away and it's hard to do so no matter who you're playing if you don't have, you know, elite talent that can carry you to do it. And so, you know, I don't think that the Seahawks are as talented as, you know, the Packers, the Niners, the Saints, or really even the Vikings. Look at what they have across the board. So I think that's a big part of it as well.
Obviously, the return of Marshawn Lynch has been a major story, but that's because they lost their top three running backs. What is his reinsertion into the Seahawks locker room meant to this team?
I think it's been huge. I think it's been huge for everybody. And, you know, you see everyone, you know, was pumped that he's back in the building, and you have young guys who are a little bit starstruck early. That beast mode's here. And, you know, he's kind of got, you know, a rock star presence about him in terms of, you know, kind of the aura about him, if you will, right? I mean, he's a legend in the NFL, and everybody loves him. You're not going to find anybody who has a bad word to say about Marshawn Lynch. So, you know, it helped them turn the page from an ugly loss to the Cardinals in week 16, helped the city get pumped again about this team. You know, beyond that, you know, he's played pretty well. You know, he hasn't had a ton of blocking to help him out, but he scored against the Niners, and he scored again against the Eagles in the wild card round, and, you know, had some physical plays, had a couple of catches where, you know, delivered some punishing stiff arms and, you know, just a taste of some vintage beast mode. So there's been the right combo of both production and nostalgia for the city of Seattle.
Is he the same guy? Same guy with the crazy responses and the addiction to Skittles and everything else we know about Marshawn Lynch in Seattle?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's still the same old cat. Hasn't changed a bit. You know, he's obviously not exactly the same player, but, you know, he seems to really be enjoying it. I think you could tell he really missed the game, that the thought of being able to come back and contribute to a playoff run was exciting for him. And as he said, you know, with Seattle, they got unfinished business. And so I think he's got plenty of motivation to be back in the game.
Joe Fan is the Seahawks insider for NBC Sports Northwest, fresh off the wild card victory in Philadelphia and headed to Green Bay next. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I remember doing a Seahawks preview before the season kicked off, and one of the question marks was the receiving core. Certainly Tyler Lockett, a major weapon, and we know that he and Russell Wilson have a good relationship, a good rapport. But the growth of DK Metcalf and his contributions have been phenomenal. How have you seen him come along from the beginning to where he is now, setting a rookie record for receiving yards in a playoff game?
Yeah, I think he's been really good all season long. And, you know, he was kind of boom or bust to begin with, but, you know, as Russell Wilson noted, there's been no rookie wall with him. You know, he's kind of continued to get better as the season goes along, and we need him to be a go-to number two guy because teams pay so much attention to Tyler Lockett that, you know, DK Metcalf should be able to feast off single coverage, and he did that against the Eagles in the wild card round. And honestly, Russell missed him on what would have been a 75-yard touchdown up the right sideline. Pressure got in his face a bit. He just overthrew him. But Metcalf was absolutely dominant. I mean, he's got the size and the athletic ability to be dominant. And the Seahawks need him to be, given that, you know, until he's become more consistent, they didn't really have that go-to guy, you know, to take the pressure off Tyler Lockett.
Mm. The big story for the Eagles in this game is losing Carson Wentz in the first half and the hit from Jadeveon Clowney getting scrutinized. What did he and the defense have to say about that after the game?
Yeah, Clowney said he wasn't trying to injure him, and I believe him. I think that the takes have been a little bit overblown. I think it was a hit that warranted a penalty, but I don't think I look at that and say, man, that was malicious. He's trying to take Carson Wentz out of the game. Jadeveon Clowney's a vet. He's well-respected in the league. And so they just not give him the benefit of the doubt and say, oh, he's a dirty player. He should be out of the league. He should be suspended. He should be ejected. You know, all those things. You know, Carson Wentz is a runner. He was diving forward. He wasn't giving himself up, you know, trying to get extra yards. And, you know, Clowney's trying to make a play. And so the helmet contact, again, I think is warranted or, you know, warranted a penalty. But, you know, I think something to suggest that, you know, it was, you know, there's malice behind it and all that, to me, just seems like a step too far. But, you know, you never want to see anyone get hurt, especially in a playoff game. And, you know, especially a guy like Carson Wentz, who, you know, has been waiting for this moment. Obviously, we know about the Eagles' Super Bowl run, what Nick Foles took them on. And, you know, it feels like Wentz got robbed again tonight.
Certainly is one of those things that you see Russell Wilson do a lot now, which is slide and give himself up. And even though he was the leading rusher, quote unquote, for the Seahawks today, he definitely doesn't take the chances that a lot of younger quarterbacks do or that he took when he first got in the league.
Yeah, I mean, he's really smart, and he's very aware. And, you know, I think there was one play, it was like the 3rd and 15, where he gained 18, and, you know, he dove forward for extra yards. It's not something we see from Russell Wilson very much. I mean, he's very conscious about sacrificing a yard or two to make sure he's getting down, you know, even a second early to not even invite, you know, those bang-bang hits that, you know, he's not looking for penalty yards. You know, he's looking to get down and avoid taking a big hit and keeping himself healthy. And so, you know, I think he's, you know, that's a reason why he hasn't missed a game. You know, he's only missed, what, like, practice, if that, and his, you know, whole career. I mean, he's been remarkably healthy. He takes really good care of his body, and, you know, his awareness in games is absolutely crucial to that.
Joe Fan joining us from Philadelphia in the wake of the Seahawks win against the Eagles. He's an insider for NBC Sports West. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. The defense wasn't facing Carson Wentz, but still facing some guys who'd been able to run really well the last couple of weeks in Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. And then they had those two massive fourth down stops late in the game. How would you evaluate what the defense did today for Seattle?
Well, it's kind of bend but don't break, and that's something the Seahawks have done a lot this year, but they held the Eagles out of the end zone. And at the end of the day, you know, that's all that matters. And, you know, Philadelphia was able to move the ball. Josh McCown played really well in this one. Miles Sanders had some big runs. Boston Scott made some plays. Dallas Goedert was a factor. But when it got, you know, in the red zone, the Eagles had no answer for what the Seahawks brought defensively. And I asked KJ Wright after the game, are you guys okay with being this bend but don't break style? And he said, absolutely. There's a big difference between 21 points and 9 points. And so, you know, when you can force teams to kick field goals and not get in the end zone, it doesn't really matter how many yards you're giving up at that point.
So, Joe, I think it's really interesting. This is not the same Seahawks team that went to a couple of Super Bowls early in Russell Wilson's tenure. The last 2 years, as much as the roster has turned over, even the coaching staff has turned over, it still seems like this team continues to be a factor. Most teams have to go through a rebuilding phase that kind of takes them out of playoff contention. What would you say about Pete Carroll that he's been able to do this without having to kind of hit rock bottom and start over again?
yeah, I mean, I think it speaks to Pete Carroll's ability to build culture. It speaks to the team's leadership and Bobby Wagner and Russell Wilson. You know, when you have superstars, it limits what your floor is. You know, there's not many superstar quarterbacks that have to endure full rebuilds. And, you know, the fact that the Seahawks are able to reload so quickly, and Russell Wilson's only missed the playoffs one time in his career, you know, I think it speaks volumes about the guys who are at the top of the organization, both players and coaches and, you know, front office included with John Schneider. I mean, the Seahawks have a really good thing going. They've, you know, while made mistakes, they've made far more correct decisions. And, you know, anyone who ever wants to point to, Russell Wilson, he's just a scramble quarterback. You know, he's gimmicky, whatever. I mean, at this point, I think it's time. You just got to give him his due. He's a top five quarterback in this league. The numbers all support that. And, you know, his ability to sustain winning seasons despite rosters that aren't necessarily as talented as those 2012, 2013, 2014 teams is really a big testament to him.
Mm. So before I let you go, when I say Seahawks, Packers, what comes to mind?
Aaron Rodgers dicing up the Seahawks defense, if I'm being honest with you. You know, but, you know, it's crazy because everyone asks, like, what do you think is going to happen in the Eagles game? You know, what do you think is going to happen in the Packers game? It's like, I don't know. The same thing that happens in every single Seahawks game, right? You know, whether the Packers get up early. So there's two routes this can go. The Packers get up early and the Seahawks come back late, or the Seahawks get up early and the Packers come back late. Either way, it's going to come down to a one-score game in the final minute of the fourth quarter because that's the script. The Seahawks, it doesn't matter if they're the better team going in or if they're the worst team going in talent-wise. Underdog, favorite, it doesn't matter. You just know it's going to be close with this team. And, you know, I would give the edge to the Packers. I think they're the better team. But you can never count out Russell Wilson and the Seahawks.
8-1 on the road this season, which speaks to that character, that mental toughness, that leadership that you talk about. Joe Fan is the Seahawks insider for NBC Sports Northwest. Fresh off the game in Philadelphia, you can follow him on Twitter at @Joe_FANN. Thanks so much for a couple of minutes and Happy New Year.
Hey, Amy, thanks so much for having me. Happy New Year to you as well.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.